Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Hey, we're going to be live from Las Vegas today, and we'll tell you all about that in a second. Well, you'll hear all about that in a second. First, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you? I'd save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Why not? Take that extra money. Buy yourself something nice or get your honey bunny something nice. That is geico.com. Spend about 15 minutes and see just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at geico.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Support for the Adam Carolla Podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, boxing legend Bernard Hopkins, with RJ Bell sitting in, and Dave Damashek's here with Good Sports. And now, on behalf of his mother, hoping you enjoyed your Halloween walnuts, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, man. Get up. We're coming to you from Las Vegas. Chris Maxipata is here. Mike August is here.
Yeah.
We got a fight coming up. Hopefully, Bernard Hopkins will come in here. The Executioner Hopkins, man. That guy, what a storied career.
What an athlete.
All right, so we'll talk about that. I got some good Vegas stories planned. Max Zapata's been banned from a casino.
What?
That's right.
Yeah. This one?
Many a Vegas story.
One of them.
I will tell you guys a story about the most I've ever spoken in a day.
What?
The most talking I've ever done in a day. Every day I hit the red line.
Uh-huh.
This time I hit the rev limiter.
Wow.
Actually passed
like
the red line.
25 hours in a 24-hour day, man.
Well, I shall tell you.
Okay.
So we're out here at the MGM Grand, and Canelo Alvarez is going up against Sergey Kovalev, the Crusher. With a K, by the way. That's his thing.
That's right.
It's good.
And that's on DAZN. And you can watch it at watch.dazn.com. And they got a lot of premium fights and various other combat sports as well as other.
Yeah. Also, it's only $20 a month, and there is a one-month free trial. So if you haven't tried it yet, definitely check
that out.
DAZN.
Get in DAZN, folks.
And this is going to be an interesting fight because so Sergey was considered a pound-for-pound guy. This guy was called the Crusher. He was knocking everybody out, and then he ran into Andre Ward. Andre Ward retired unbeaten. I don't know if he was 30-0. But he ran into Andre Ward. They had a really good fight, but Andre edged him out. They had a rematch. Andre won, I think, and then retired. And Sergey kind of got a little of the... He was invincible, and he was very Drago-esque. He was, like, knocking everybody out. Everyone was scared of him. And he was probably 32-0.
He was 32-0.
He was 32-0.
As a middle?
Andre Ward, light heavy.
Light heavy.
Andre Ward was like 28-0, and they went at it, and Andre got the best of him two times, I think, and then retired. So he's retired unbeaten, and Sergey hit a rough patch, but Sergey was 32-0 with something like 29 knockouts or 30 knockouts.
That's
like
a lot
an incredible
of knockouts.
Amount of knockouts.
That is a lot.
And I know you can figure out what he was when he went in, Max Pattis, on the computer going into the fight, but he knocked everybody out. He's a light heavyweight. Light heavyweight's like 175. Canelo is a great fighter, but he fights at middleweight or super middleweight.
Right.
He doesn't
come
fight.
Up two classes for this
Yeah, he's
fight,
coming
right?
up two classes.
That's a lot.
It
How
is in boxing.
Is
it's 15 pounds,
That's
which is a lot in the boxing world. So he is, yeah.
So in their first fight in 2016, Sergey was 30-0-1 with 26 knockouts.
Right. So he's a knockout artist, and he's has the size advantage. Canelo's younger and on the come, as they say. But I don't know. I think this could be a very interesting fight because he's going up to fight a much bigger guy in Kovalev. All right. So we'll talk about that coming up. But I do want to talk Vegas stories. I got the most I've ever spoken in one day. We got Max Pattis got a couple of good ones. You want to start with Max Pattis being banned from a casino?
All right. So, I am banned from Palms Casino.
Palms Casino, okay.
Yeah, that's the one that's off
the Palms.
Yeah, the Palms, yeah.
Okay.
So what happened was I was here with a few friends, and there's a high roller section of the Palms Casino, there is an elevator in the back that if you go up it, and there's no credentials you need to go up it, it takes you to some back stairwell, and then it takes you, if you go up the stairs, it takes you through a secret entrance into the dance club at the very top.
It's a secret dance club.
So this isn't a betting ban? This is a trespassing
this
ban?
This is a strictly trespassing
ban. The gayest
ban
of all time.
I know. Hey, it's a ban's a ban.
What, were you doing like the merengue and they said, get out?
Is the club just an exclusive club for these VIPs?
I think it's a VIP entrance to just a regular club.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
we went up it and we got very drunk. We weren't like you can tell we didn't belong because we weren't even part of the dress code to go to these clubs. You have to wear nice shoes. You have to wear like a collared shirt, and we just wore t-shirt and jeans, which by the way kind of makes you look important if you're at these things, because how do they get in if they're just wearing this? Oh, they must be somebody.
Were you guys on the dress code, like the Magic Castle, that provides dress for you if you don't show up? Like, I've been to the Magic Castle with a dude who was wearing jeans and a short sleeve shirt, and they gave him slacks to pull over his jeans. Slacks.
Wow, I've heard of the tie.
Slacks to pull over his jeans and a jacket. But now he looked like a crazy Unabomber sort of homeless guy. Like, it actually was hurting their cause.
Yeah. Obviously not yours.
How does that help?
You didn't buy them.
Now that's you look ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
One of my friends, Logan, you know him, Adam. He went on a first date to the Magic Castle, and he met this girl online, and he didn't realize that you needed a jacket to get in. So he goes in with just a regular button-up shirt, and they won't let him have a jacket. He had to borrow the girl he was dating, the girl he met up with. He had to wear her jacket.
What's up, by the way?
They couldn't lend you a jacket. It would have a bunny rabbit or a dove in it.
Let me say this, too. Whenever a guy does magic, especially sleight of hand, first thing he does is, like, takes his jacket off, and then he pulls his sleeves back.
Yeah.
So you have this weird jacket rule in a place where the first thing the guy does is full Don Johnson. He slides the things right back. Like, what is your relationship with sleeves, Magic Castle? I want to know, in or out, because this is a mixed message. Right. I have to go home and tell my children. And I don't know, what shall I tell them?
Yes.
They love sleeves. They hate sleeves. The people outside love sleeves. The people inside hate them. That's why they keep pulling them off. And by the way, instead of going through that dance every time where you just, well, I'm going to lift my sleeve up, why not just a short sleeve magician shirt?
Ah.
Something you'd wear poolside, you know, in Phoenix.
You could even certify them.
Certified magician shirts. Like, we don't have to take your word for nothing up the sleeve. You have no sleeves. The shirt has been certified. As a matter of fact, I would like a shirt. Here's the magician I'd like. I'd like him to dress like Polly from Rocky. Remember his brother-in-law when I was walking around with the wife beater? You got to wear a wife beater, and you got to be holding a course.
Yeah.
And you got to do all the magic from your wife beater. Like, it'll come with a gravy stain. Have a robot chase you around the house. RJ Bell is just taking his place.
Yes, in the house. Speaking of banned from every casino
as well. So, Chris, how did they find you when you went into this club besides your dress?
So one of my friends put he made a scene, and when he was really drunk, and ended up dropping his cocktail glass on the dance floor, and then they pull us aside. These two big black security guards grab me and my buddy. They take us to at like a secret back entrance door, another one. We go into this room that's just black. It's just a black room. And I'm thinking, this is where I get the shit kicked out of me. This is where they
like
go.
Casino.
Yeah, just like in casino.
Left hand or right hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there, and they're saying they need my ID. They're going to call the cops, all this stuff. And then so they're just asking me, how did I get in? How did I find the place? How did I sneak in? I just told them everything. I was scared out of my mind. And then while my drunk friend is just mumbling things, just nonsense, to where the other security guard, the quiet one in the back, just kind of lets off one of the, like, he kind of made the security guard laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of just let their shoulders down a little bit and said, all right, we gotta get you out of here. And them two and like a high official guy in like a suit, they escort us out. They inform us that we are no longer allowed back in this casino. We have a lifetime ban.
Yeah, how many of that?
Yeah,
how much of that is really ever enforced?
You can't.
Big time, it's enforced.
How?
They have facial recognition. You don't think every casino knows everyone?
But somebody. No, I agree. What I'm saying is that thing where it's like, you know, where the old man and at the end of the cul-de-sac is like, I'm going to talk to your parents about you, but he never leaves his armchair. You know, he's not going to go over to your house.
That's what it felt like.
I think we should walk into the Palms and find out.
Right.
Honestly,
I've been back.
You guys are plain wrong about this.
Mm.
And I'll give you an example. I know a couple guys that are banned for blackjack. If they even walk up and are watching a game within 6-7 minutes, someone's going to walk up and go, you know, you can play anything else, Mr. So-and-so. You can't play blackjack.
You know, I just thought about this, and I agree, but I just mean somebody would have had to put a report
in, and no one
would have done that because he's small time. Yeah. How about...
I definitely don't have any money.
How about a casino, instead of banning a guy for winning too much at blackjack, how about a guy like me gets rewarded for losing all the time?
Well, you do. Yeah.
How about
the
some facial club. Recognition right. where I come walking in, and they're like...
Hey, right this way,
Mr. Godfox. Here comes that sack of money. We'll bring the food to your table. Don't get up.
Yep.
Have you seen Owning Mahoney?
No, the movie.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman plays a gambling addict, mm-hmm. and he's losing so much. When he walks in, they greet him at the door.
Right. Oh, really?
They cook him fried chicken. He eats it.
Oh, this is
we just
like,
saw that. We got off the plane, and a guy got picked up in a Wynn Rolls Royce.
Ooh.
Rolls Royce.
This is like when... Jimmy called me a few years ago, and he's like, oh, no, I think Cousin Sal called me a few years ago, and he's like, who do you like for the Super Bowl? And I go, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to bet this year. I always lose. And he goes, no, we need to know. And I said, why do you need to know? I'm not betting. He said, no, we need to bet the opposite way. And I go, well, I'm not going to do it this year. And then Jimmy, he's on a three-way. Jimmy comes in and goes, it's really important.
It's really. Come on.
He didn't want to have to step up and you know.
I think he was just going to listen and take the bet, but he had to intervene.
When he saw it wasn't happening.
We needed an A-lister with some juice. Bernard Hopkins has just walked up here. And
Magnificent Bernard Hopkins.
Yes, from Philadelphia.
Great all-timers.
Bernard will
very
have a
trim,
seat here. And I know, he doesn't put any weight
today,
on.
Today, I'd say.
Bernard 55-8-2-2, 32 KOs in his career. The Executioner, of course, undisputed. His titles are middleweight, light heavyweight. So talk about a guy who moved up from middleweight to light heavyweight, like Canelo's.
Made those 20 defenses.
I had to establish.
My legacy in the middleweight division with 20 defenses because the greats that came before me, Carlos the Great Monzon from Argentina, who died in a plane crash, and the great Marvin Hagler from Boston, had 15, and then it was Monzon, I believe, had 16 title defenses. And I needed to establish myself in history, so... My idol is Marvin Hagler. His work ethics, the way he was disciplined. I took a page out of that book and proved it over 28 years of professional boxing when I ended my career two and a half years ago.
How much money do you think Marvin Hagler left on the table when he lost a tough decision to Sugar Ray Leonard and said, I'm moving to Italy. I'm done.
Yeah, it was probably double or triple than what he would have got. But,
Double, triple, what
of,
he...
Of what Marvin Hagler received for the first fight.
There.
For the first fight.
I mean, millions.
I think he... Yeah, and you know what? It goes as a testimony, in a way, if you look at both sides of it, that Marvin Hagler felt that, you know, he wasn't the guy as Ray Leonard was. Ray Leonard's the Olympian... Beautiful Smile, 7-Up commercial with his son. And Marvin Hagler was sort of like, I sort of pattern myself. You come out of nowhere, renegade, I come out of the penitentiary, come from these corporate America, say humble beginnings. Well, nothing humble about my beginning. You had to either survive or eat or be eaten.
Well,
When you look at Marvin Hagler, bald head.
Yeah, back before Jordan.
Ball head, stereotype of that community or that era of the year, ball head guy coming in from Boston, from Massachusetts. Then you got the American boy, Ray Leonard, with the smile, with the bush.
Just the Hollywood. Stay on the mic.
Come on, we understand. Like, this ain't a political conversation. This is saying, here's one man, basically a renegade, and here's another guy, is the American boy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now you got, and then you got the Olympics behind that. Gold medal winner.
Yeah, everyone loves Sugar Ray.
Yeah. Hagler was the boogeyman in the house. It was like, I don't know. Right. He felt, but, along with accomplishments, he felt like, yo, like, he got shafted in that fight. I think it was close. I give it to Leonard by decision based on the things he did.
It was a right? super close
but,
fight.
But I believe that Hagler got such a bad taste of what he felt that he never really got a good deal in that situation before Leonard. It just, I think it was hit the breaking point where he said, look, man, I mean, you don't move out of the country just to move out of the country because you lose a fight. I don't care what nobody say. It's a lot behind that, whether it's justified or not.
Yeah. Like, Bernard, I want to talk about you.
Like, I'm thinking about moving the hell out of the country for different reasons, but I don't want to talk about politics right
it's
now.
IRS stuff. We
what about...
I just make sure my money's safe.
I mean, you obviously spent a lot of time in the penitentiary,
I wanna move
right?
out the country.
I mean, you got a late... Your boxing career was... it started late because you're in the joint, right?
Well, professionally, yes.
Professionally.
But I started when I was 9 years old from uncles on both sides, mother and father, who was really respected local fighters in Philadelphia in that tri-state corridor all from New York all the way down. They was local fighters professionally, but never made it to the level, of course, of me. But the DNA from them, my uncles on both sides, I was born to be what I was. My uncle gave me my first gloves and took me to Joe Frazier's gym at Broad and Glenwood. So the history of the Hopkins family have it. And my nephew, Demetrius Hopkins, you can look him up. He had a pretty decent record. You know, he got discouraged and he stopped boxing. But he got his feet wet in the professional. And we promoted that Golden Boy about 8 years ago.
How old were you when you went into the penitentiary?
I was 17.
How
I got
old?
Out at 25.
So you spent 8 years. In the penitentiary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you training while you were in the penitentiary?
Eventually, yes, because they had a boxing gym there, and I went to the gym, but wanted to go to another block, and I was sort of like led into the gym based on being watched as I got led out of one block to go to the gym, and I couldn't get out of it because they was watching me. They open a gate, you walk through a corridor, and then they take you to another block. So now, you look at a wheel being a wheel with blocks A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So you got all these alphabets going around this wheel. And then you got all the guards patrolling that wheel. And people coming from different places going to different places. So you got the center with all the white shirts, the captains, the lieutenants. They are watching the movement. And they said, well, you got Y 4145 going to the gym. I was going to sneak on another block and hang out with my homies. But I couldn't. So they opened one gate, let you out, opened another gate to let you in where you say you was going. I was forced to go to that gym. Listen, this is important.
I'm listening.
Because I was,
settle down,
listen,
Adam. Settle.
I was forced to go to the gym because that's where I said I was going. When I got down there, they had basketball on this end. It's a big room about the size of this. And next thing I know, there's a boxing gym. There are people boxing. And, man, a guy ain't really all that. You know, he's, well, you get in there with him. And I got in there, and I realized he was all that. But I did good enough where they start respecting me and saying, man, you got skills. Won't you come to the gym tomorrow? Now, it's the older guys that been, they got life. So you don't want to befriend nobody and you don't want to get too cozy with people because everybody got their own agendas. And so eventually, I got in there. I didn't do my best, but everybody was impressed that I held up and used to start training and I got back into it. The only reason I got back into boxing to be where I'm now, it's because jail didn't do it. I was just sent there because I've done something. If I wasn't in that position, I wouldn't have got the love to be at this table right now. And when that sparked back up and I looked at my options leaving out of that place after 5+ years, right? Mm-hmm. I said I'll never be in nobody else's jail. I'll never be Wild 4145 again. And I said I'm going to train, and I wound up losing my first fight to test my will on pulling my bootstraps up and getting back in a race. 28 plus years later. Hall of Fame status later. Record setting later.
Now, the question I was going to ask is this prison, this facility, is that the same one Felicity Huffman was in, or is that a different? Is that a different, it's different zone? Same, but same prison, just a different wing,
different block.
I don't know. I know she went to prison.
It was the same. It was the same prison, but definitely a different wing.
Different wing. Okay.
Thankfully for her,
heart strangling me.
Because if that was the case,
hope that's all he does.
If that were the case, my time would have been a little easy. Yeah.
You know, Bernard, Adam fancies himself a boxer.
Oh no!
Yeah,
no.
Oh, here we go.
Gloves, another boxing trainer.
But it's another another topic.
Yeah, if only I had been incarcerated to realize my potential. You lost your first fight.
Oh my God!
You lost your first professional fight
badly,
and then you defended your title 20
four
times.
Round decision. I was.
Has that ever happened in the history of boxing where a guy? There's a lot of guys who lost their first fight, went on to be winners and even champions, but 20 title defenses.
I even got something else for you that you probably didn't even recognize. Mm. And I'm proud, but I'm not proud of it, but it's so profoundly how things work in my life and how I can make something where nothing is look like it's nothing to be made out of. You know, I lost my first fight. Clinton Mitchell.
Yes.
You heard that. I don't know if y'all know, I lost my last fight.
I'm guessing. Very few win their last fight.
Listen, but listen to my thing, though. The lid is on the top. That's the beginning. Uh-huh. At the end, I started off the same way I began it. Uh-huh. I lost my first fight, and I lost my last fight with 22, three decades in between the history. Now, they say, well, Bernard, and this is a person, one of psychologists, but it was a person saying to me the other day, he said, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Here you start off in 1988, you lose a four-round decision, and you stop 2017, and you lost coming in, and you lost going out. People should be aware of what you're going to do from here on, because when you get knocked down or you don't accomplish what you wanted to accomplish, it seems like you go for years and maybe decades to be greater than the last time they've seen you.
You had a fight at 52. Your last fight was 52.
It was 52. So I lost coming in.
Right?
I lost coming in.
Professional fight?
And I lost going out, but with a history that's talked about now as a documentary, book, inspiration, 9 yards, not just a book of boxing, not just a lot of books of boxing, right? Raging Bull, you got this book, you got that book. But your story, which all of us have, it's a little bit more different than just being in a box as a fighter. Here you come out 5 years, do 9 years of parole on the street in the 80s and 90s, which was tough in urban city. Then you lose your first fight. Why didn't you go back to jail? Like, that statistic says you shouldn't be sitting here $100+ million later, historic later, manage yourself for 80% of your career. You received the Manager of the Year Award by the Boxing Writers Association. Only two fighters in the history books that achieved that is you and George Foreman. George Foreman first and then me. Then you start talking about now you manage yourself? Yeah, but I had a team. I had advisors. Most of the people that work for me work by not a percentage, but by salary, to keep them half honest.
Right.
Because I can always tell you, without going to litigation in court, I can always tell you, like, you ain't doing your job right.
Right, right.
Right? Or you ain't doing this right, and I'll give you your last pay, and I tell you go. Right?
Yep.
Right? But if I got to give you 5 or 10%, see, I learned this stuff by reading. One thing I took advantage of incarceration, and I never probably would have done it in society, I went to the library all the time, and I started reading the definitions of certain things that I didn't understand. I started reading the dictionary from beginning to the end, and I started pronouncing my words right, and I started understanding what the words mean. I became really a threat to people. And I was that person, like, if I'm around 10 people and I'm the smartest out of 10, I'm leaving that room. I don't want to be in that room. I don't want to be in that room. And listen, that made me respect it and literally loved by a lot of people, but also, I don't mind putting fear in the right way, because I've been ignorant for a long time. And once I woke up from that stage of mind, and ignorance is lack of knowledge.
Right.
It has nothing to do with college or religion or gender.
Exactly.
And my thing is, one thing I've realized, that I am more than just a wild 41, 45. I'm more than just a urban black kid who trying to find his way and get killed before he gets it. So I beat the odds.
By far.
I beat the odds. And you know what? They don't have to talk about it because it's not any benefit to promote me as a person, whether a role model, whether an inspiration, whether a role model or an inspiration or anything. You went those years as a professional. We ain't even counting the amateur years, and you still can articulate and talk and be clear and understand. We don't know if you're a preacher, politician, or you just a guy that just inspire people based on
Bernard,
what?
Bernard, can I get...
Based on a talent.
Hold on a sec. I want to know. I want to interview you for a second.
I'm interviewing y'all. this you called the takeover.
You got to open a church.
He is a church.
Who's the toughest guy you ever fought?
Go ahead and open that wallet. The church can't operate without donations.
I'll pass the basket around.
Okay.
Who's your toughest fight?
In boxing?
Yeah. I'm going with boxing.
Thank God.
Not inner demons.
Ex-wives.
Not to battle the bulls. I get it. Yeah. Right.
An ex-wife is busy.
Ex-wife. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Listen, I forgot about that.
I've been hitting the balls twice by two ex-wives.
Been hitting the balls twice by two ex-wives?
But listen, let me tell you. Roy Jones by far.
Roy Jones, because he was so athletic.
Oh, come on, so man. Athletic. You know the game?
I do.
You just said it.
He's so athletic.
Yo, he could be like an NBA Roy Jones, player,
yes.
Right? That was
in boxing.
Term.
He was an NBA player. NBA. He was a Mike. I called him Michael Jordan in boxing
that
at that
good?
Time.
You saw him
in
play 93? Basketball?
In 93, he did 360. Next thing you know, my nose bleeding.
Wow.
Right.
Well, like, Roy Jones is so athletic, gifted, he can do the things wrong and never pay a price because he was so quick and he got back so in line with being off balance. Like, he hit you with a smack, you with a left hook jumping at you.
What happened?
Boy used to jump at you and hit you with a left hook.
He's incredibly athletic, and that's why he was really unstoppable for a long period of time.
Yes.
When you fought him, you must figure that out in the first round, right?
Yeah.
And now you know you're going to be with this guy for the next 10 or 12 rounds.
Like, yeah.
And that's got to be a horrible sinking feeling, knowing that you're in with that quality of fighter from 20 seconds into the fight. You find out immediately. Yeah. Like, you're training. You know you're good. You're quick. You're
Can
slick.
Can I tell you what
you're
I
athletic.
Did?
What'd you do?
Kept my hands up and forgot to punch.
You've got to use the mic.
Come on, man. It's...
Kept the mic up. Don't forget to talk.
He was trying to crack him.
Now, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
A, you want to protect yourself because punches are coming everywhere, like bee stings. Like, you
right.
You're interfered with a beehive, right?
It's
just all over the place. And you're spinning around, and they're still stinging you everywhere, even in your ass. Now, listen.
This is Roy in his prime.
Hold up.
Yes.
Now, you're not punching because you're trying to protect yourself. Roy Jones. And there's a few fighters in history that has that same type of ability. Once you taste the power and you know that he got speed and power, which is dangerous, you forget that you got to punch to get points to win the round.
Right.
So now you're more or less on a protection than a more offense.
Yeah.
Because
right.
that didn't feel good.
Sure.
And if I keep knocking you upside the head every time you act like you're hitting me, you're not going to let your hands go no more. You're going to glue them like this.
Right.
Sure. And you're going to stay there.
Oh, my. Get the mic. I keep the mic.
Listen, it's a reflex. I can't help myself.
I get it. All right. Bernard, let's give you a plug. We got 1,000 things to get along
let's do a
here.
Plug.
Bernard Hopkins at B Hop Da Alien. That's DA Da Alien. And what else do we need to know? Where else should we send people? This is Instagram, by the way.
You could just send them anywhere, damn, as long as they don't go to prison.
All right. Send them anywhere but prison. The great Bernard Hopkins, everybody.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Legend. Legendary.
Great to see you, my friend.
All right. Oh, we're doing a real handshake. Yeah. Thank you, Bernard.
Thanks, Bernard.
All right. RJ, I was going to tell you guys about the most I've ever talked in one day, but I think Bernard Hopkins just beat me. He just beat me in the talking department.
I got to be honest. That was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Because Adam, you know, he can't, 30 seconds without, you can go about 30?
I've... I have to wake up every 90 seconds to talk, and I can't sleep through the night.
And he would not let, and you were like shaking a little bit. You were playing with a pen. You didn't know what to do.
I started to cut on myself. I keep a razor in case I can't talk, and I was cutting on my thigh. You guys couldn't see it under the table. Jesus,
it was actually fascinating. It was fascinating what he was.
What a story! He never answered the Felicity Huffman question, though.
Right? I think he heard it.
We go online and figure that.
You know what's great, though? Last thing is these notes. I've seen show rundowns or these kind of bios. It says by age 13 he was mugging people and he was stabbed 3 times. Period.
And it is an interesting. It's funny because I've been really talking about this on the podcast lately, which is Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, Bernard Hopkins. You guys come from these horrible environments. You know, they're absentee dads. You're getting in scraps. You're fighting at school. You should be a mess. You
talking
should be
in class.
You should be a horrible dad. You should be everything. But somehow Bernard Hopkins gets out of prison and says, I'm not going back. Like, I'm going a different direction. Everyone else goes back. 70%, 80% go back. So many people that had horrible, upbringings just end up being junkies and being horrible to their kids. What is the thing? We were talking about it, I think, with Phil Lamar. We're talking about that sort of outlier thing. Like, what is that part of your brain that only affects about 2% of the population where they go, I've seen it. And I'm not going back.
Right.
Like, I've been to prison. I'm not going back to prison. Everyone else ends up back in prison. The worst place in the world.
Yep.
Where you lived, you can't figure out a way not to go back. But they go back.
It's like you always say, it's influencers. Like with Phil Lamar, it was his mother. His mother got him out of the hood, got to the valley. She was upwardly mobile, got him in private school. Bernard Hopkins, his brother, his uncles are great boxers, and they bring him into boxing. Boxing's his way out.
But he still was in prison for 7 or 8
years.
Yeah,
but he always had that influence from as a child. There's another path other than crime.
My feeling is it's more nature than nurture. There's just something in your head. Like my family, horrible influencers. Mm-hmm. They'd make the worst Kardashians ever. Like, how many Instagram followers do you have, Dad? I don't know.
You had your
zero.
Grandfather. You had Lotsy.
Well, he was a stable guy.
He was in the business.
Not when I knew him. Like,
he had stories. And
Yeah, he was fine. He wasn't a huge fan of mine, but he made goulash, and he was okay. You know what I mean? Like, I had some okay teachers and some okay whoever's.
Right.
But I really was determined to get away from something, and, others aren't, who have arguably better influences around them.
Let me ask you a question. Honestly, though, you've had an amazing career, and you got decades to go, hopefully. Do you think there's any turn that could have happened, just one bad break that would have sent you where you didn't make it?
Well, there were many things that I engaged in, such as riding a motorcycle in the rain with a bald tire for years, and driving around a mini pickup truck with no headrest and no shoulder harness and stuff like that. I could have easily been cleaned out or paralyzed in some sort of horrible motorcycle accident.
Guys get horribly hurt.
Yes, I did horrible, dangerous, physical, dangerous things like all the time. So it's kind of a miracle that crawling underneath a condemned building, nothing collapsed on me.
I know several guys I grew up with died.
Right. I used to climb. I'd hang off the side of a roof and junk, crazy, stupid stuff. So the physical stuff, there was plenty of opportunities to just get killed on a motorcycle. Emotionally, I was very careful, like, don't have kids, don't get married, don't buy a new truck and have to make payments. You need that money to go to the Groundlings and take classes. But I don't know. If I didn't meet Jimmy Kimmel, who knows? I'd assume I would find a way.
Now, do you think if you were 3 levels down, where you were making $85,000 a year grinding, would you still be in show business?
Grinding, I've always said the best thing that ever happened to me is not getting a union job on the Paramount or Sony lot, where I was like indoors building flats for sitcoms, and getting a fat pension and golden time and because medical insurance, because I would have always went like, I don't know if I want to give up the, I have 3 weeks paid vacation. I don't want to give that. I had the luxury of having a job that had no paid vacations, no medical, no dental, no time off, know anything ever. So it was real easy just to walk away from that. RJ, I don't know how many pounds you're down. You look like you've lost a lot of weight.
I'm down a little bit. I figure this is an opportunity now where sports betting is, and you got to be TV ready. I don't know if you know this, but television is televised.
Oh, is it?
the quote adds weight. The quote, the Louis C.K. show.
So we're talking. So Max Pata was banned, but he made a comeback. And
I've been banning story ever. I was thrown out for card counting one time. That's a better story.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got thrown out of the Mint.
What happened?
Blackjack, counting cards, losing, by the way. Girl pit boss comes up and goes, okay, you're done. And I was down like $175 by that time.
How do they know you're counting cards?
Because I'm a horrible card counter.
But were you
you know, they know how, because they watch how you bet, right? You're in a little. Then when you feel like it's coming your way, you push it all in. That's
so,
how you
so they
literally
see the rhythm.
They see the
yeah,
rhythm.
And what serious players do, they have a team. Right?
Right,
so one person's sitting there and they're betting, let's say one or two chips.
Mm-hmm.
So there's it's $5, $10, or maybe it's $100, $200. It doesn't matter. It's a small amount relative to the table, but there's a code that a certain type of bet. It's to bring the other person in who looks like the real rich guy that doesn't care. He's got a gowl on his arm. Oh, what's going on here? Yeah, but the deck is rich, and then he comes in and bets huge money. And then when the deck's over, he gets up and goes, "All right, got you guys again."
I should have thought of that.
The most
I need a team.
The most I ever spoke in one day.
Okay.
Yeah. Was so that was the least I've ever spoke in 21 minutes.
Bernard Hopkins. Counted.
And only because the guy still looks like he could knock you out with just looking at you. That is a dangerous.
A lot of people can't hear too, but Bernard is grabbing at him.
He's grabbing my arm the whole time.
That's why I said that he's a boxer, just to see if he'd get into it.
I was coming out here to do Howard Stern. So remember when Stern would come to Vegas?
Sure.
I don't know. What did he do? 8 years of that? 6 years of that?
I mean, it was during the Artie years.
I don't think he did 10 years of it, but he had a he'd come out here. And so when he'd come out here, he'd invite me and he'd invite Jimmy to come out. And I don't know if Jimmy could make it that year, but he invited me to come out and join him. So, to do the broadcast. So I was like, yeah, I'll come out. And I got a friend of mine who didn't talk that much, but she was a good listener. And I picked her up in my two-seater. I had a Z car, a 350, a Nissan 350Z, the newer one.
Oh, you're driving out.
I'm driving. So she gets in the car. Beth Einhorn's her name. She ended up working for me and Jimmy, and she worked for Leno and whatever.
Beth Einhorn.
I pick her up, and she gets in the car, and I start talking. and then I keep talking, and I keep talking. And then eventually we get to Vegas, and I come out, like, as soon as I valet the car, I just walk right on to Stern, sit down, and I talk for 4 hours. Then I got to do Loveline.
Here?
In Vegas, out of Vegas.
Sure.
So as soon as I'm done with Stern, we got to haul ass. We don't eat dinner, and then we haul ass to the affiliate station, and I talk for 2 hours, and now it's midnight. And we both get back in the car, and I talk all the way home.
Oh,
we didn't stay in Vegas. We got home at like 4:30 in the morning, and she got out of the car, and she's like, I didn't say a word. You never stopped talking. You talked all the way here, all the way back. You talked on Stern the whole time, and then you did Loveline and talked the entire time. You did a 19-hour uninterrupted talk fest.
Wow.
And that's the longest I've
ever
talked.
On the road, too.
Now, on the road, at Stern. Yes.
She's not even saying, like, oh, good point, or that's interesting.
No.
Can you imagine? 4 hours here, hours back.
I can, yes.
She was wearing her sunglasses on the way home. I think she may have been sleeping.
Or earplugs.
You know Howard hates when you call him Stern.
Oh, yeah. He got mad at that one.
Oh, he always does. I listen to Howard a lot.
It's weird. I'll tell you why I call him Stern, because I feel like when you call people by their first name, like when they do that thing where, you know, they go, hey, Bobby De Niro, he's a good friend. I love working with Bobby.
Oh,
I always think it's like a little blowhardy, he's your friend.
But he is your friend. I mean,
he is. I just...
But Adam has no self-esteem. He wouldn't do that about anybody.
Yeah, for clarification, I just use people, like if that's the Stern Show or the Howard Stern Show, I don't feel like I want to say Howard. I feel like people won't know or I don't know. Like if I went, I was coming out here to do Howard. I don't know if they think I'm going to a predominantly black university and speaking.
But here's speaking the difference. So once you have the conversation, you're engaged with it, then it's like, but then Stern said, and at that point, everyone knows who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I don't know. I should say Howard. Sorry, Howard, if you hear this. I know it makes him angry. I'm not. It's really out of respect. It's not.
See?
Quick last thing is when Artie hadn't been hired yet and you sat in for a week or two by ISTN?
No, 6 months, right?
I don't know. I used to sit some in all
of
the time.
Some of the best stuff on YouTube. I go back and listen to the old ones. When you're sitting in, I mean, amazing stuff.
Oh,
in
my thanks. Opinion.
I'm serious.
This is a weird. It's a weird thing. But Howie, the most positive feedback I've probably ever gotten artistically is being on Howard Stern. Like, people go, hey, Man Show, love the Man Show. They like Loveline. They like the podcast. They like this, and they like a book, or they like that. But the most consistent is Howard Stern. And there's something, I think that's probably why he's Howard Stern, because I'm funny, but I'm not as funny when I'm on whoever's show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, you tell me if it's true, but you probably brought your A game, right? When you're talking all the time, sometimes it gets indulgent. Howard's not going to let that because he likes to talk. It was probably the best of Adam.
Well, you don't want to go in that studio and lay an egg. And then also, once people come up to you in the street and go, love you on Howard Stern, then you feel like all those people are listening and you don't want to have a not quite as best. But the reality is, my wiring is if I'm doing Sirius XM, and I do Howard Stern show first, and then I'm going to go to 16 other shows, 15 of which I haven't heard of. I do the same effort. I work the same thing. I have a wiring, which is I can't have these people, even if three people are listening or I've never met the host before, I can't have them go, it was a 7. You know, I just, there's something about it. So I don't. I've experienced it in the morning show where people came in and they were like kind of just showing up and mailing it in like a guest because they went like, it's not, no one I know listens or whatever. But I work it. I pedal that bike no matter what.
I mean, obviously it's panned out. I guess the only question I'd have is, do you feel like not the effort as much, but do you feel like you might have self-edited more on how? Like with you, on my show, I'm talking like you talk, meaning I'm talking almost the whole time. Here, right. I'm sitting back, it's Adam's show, and I'm trying to hit a couple jabs now and again. Did you back up a little with Howard?
He's, you know, when someone is good at interviewing somebody else, it'll be invisible. You know, when it's bad, you'll know it. You know, it'll seem pretty effortless. From a million years of doing radio, I can tell people's body language and posture, and they make a little noise as they start leaning in or whatever. So I would never wax on too long or step on a question or cut him off or whatever, because I was very attuned to the posture of radio, which it's why interviews with the 2 second delay in the earpiece, they're always so stilted because you can't physically see the person. You know, you're doing Bill O'Reilly and you're just looking at the camera and you're hearing him in one ear and there's a delay and you have no idea. Howard, the way he positions himself was always like, he always had a clear eye line to him, and he always sort of, he's so, you know, he's 6'6" and he's got those features, and you could tell when he was leaning in versus leaning back versus I'm listening versus here comes another question. You know, it wasn't that you could physically read when he was talking or getting a little bored, you know, wanted to move on to another subject. If you look at people now, many people don't have this. Like Dr. Drew's wife does not know when I'm bored off my ass. And I want to, you know, when I say things like, I'm going to the bar for the 6th time, do you want anything? That means I'm done with this conversation. But if you're wired like I am and you're wired for radio and you can watch Stern and you can see him, he's like a vulture sitting up on his prey. He's a gargoyle up there. And he's just waiting. And you see him lean in or lean back or make a little noise that either says we're going to the next topic or wrap it up. If you can play those physical cues, kind of like when you're trying to pick up a chick and she's playing with her hair a lot versus her arms folded saying, I'm waiting for my fiance.
Walking.
Right.
I'm going to the bar.
Right. So think about what a woman does physically if she's interested, like the way she stands or she'll mess around with her hair.
That's how you envision how.
Yeah, but you've seen movies where women are interested, right? Certainly porn.
No, I'm interested in porn.
What's fascinating, though, just recently I heard Howard talking about why he has his view blocked of certain people because he said he doesn't want to see what the way people's reacting. He wants to hear the way that the audience is hearing.
That's a good – yeah, well, it can be demoralizing sometimes. Like when I was – on a long-winded soliloquy, and I looked through the glass at Dawson, and he pulled a flask out. He took a hit off it right in the middle of my, you know, left turn arrow, red arrows, or tack rows or something. He took a nip.
Fast forward 10 years and I'll be Dawson spinning the revolver with the gun. Yeah.
Loading the putting the bullets in the chamber. Yeah, I know it is. It is an interesting thing, and what I do sometimes is I'll close my eyes just to hear what it would sound like if I wasn't sitting in the room, you know, with the person. But
thing, I promise. I just to me, this is a thrill.
I kind of like the Howard Stern questions.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting thing.
And this is a segue, though. You are one of the rare guys, I think, that you're content with audio, meaning almost every radio guy wants to be a TV guy.
Right.
And you've done TV, but what I'm saying is it seems like you understand this is harder, I think, to be good at this. Because let's be candid, most TV guys are reading from a teleprompter, right? Bill right. Simmons, who has had great success with audio, though not as a radio guy, his TV show, bomb. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You seem content with it.
Well, there's a couple of things. First, I do believe that the audio penetrates much deeper. And if you're trying, you know, people say to me, oh, you write books or you make docs or you do a podcast, you know, what is it? What do you want to, what do you like the best or what do you want to do? And I go, I want to put my ideas in your head. That's what I want to do.
Uh-oh.
And the middle part of my dick, not the end and not the shaft near the balls. The middle. So I'm going to need to get a run and start for that.
No comment.
I want to put my ideas in your head. And when you're on TV and they got the crawl going along the bottom and the upper right corner and the logo and the ghost and the this and the that, my ideas aren't getting fully penetrated into your head. Mm-hmm. So you know how Bernard Hopkins wants to put his fist in your head?
Yes.
I'm going to put my ideas in Hopkins' fist and have him put it in your head. And I have found, and if you guys know that if you close your eyes and you listen to something audibly, like I will bet you if somebody said, and somebody's got to do this experiment, but if someone said, you put in earbuds, and somebody said, here are all the capitals, like the European capitals, or here's the name of the roster, the 77 Dodgers, or whatever. Just whatever. You got to retain, and you have to digest information. If somebody said you can watch a big screen TV and have a good looking guy with shiny teeth or a good looking chick in a sequined gown announce all the information versus put the earbuds in, close your eyes, and lay back on a sofa, I think it'd be 50% higher.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's intimate, especially with podcasts, radio, commercials all the time. It's blaring. This is intimate. People listen to podcasts. It's a one-on-one relationship.
And also, there has to be an element, too, of like kind of low self-esteem. Like, there's like, if I see myself on TV, I always wince. I feel like, you know, people feel when they hear their voice on a recording, like, oh, that's what I sound like. Oh, make it stop.
Ouch.
If I see myself on TV, I'm always like, ugh. I just have low self-esteem. I don't want to see myself.
To me, to wrap up that topic is, like, let's look at Cousin Sal and me, right? Both in a similar industry.
Right.
Sal's on a TV show.
Right.
How much creative control does Sal have, right? Pretty much none, right? He's got producers. He's doing his thing on the show. We've got a radio show on 200 stations on Fox. I dictate every word, if I want, that's said on the show. You got creative control. There's no TV show that you could have as much control as you have of this.
Well, it's in... Oh, they're telling me I got to wrap it up. Oh. No, I'm making a joke, aren't you? See what happened there? See what I did there?
I got it.
We are doing a little transition here. But it is true. You have 100% control, which is good, and it's bad as well because you have 100% control. Like, so when I drive one of my race cars, I have 100% control, but that doesn't mean I win or I don't crash. So most people would like to give up a little of that control to have a co-driver or spotter or some ability, something in the prompter, something.
But only if you thought they were your equal.
As a guardrail. But right. That's the tricky part. Yeah. That's when a guy gets to where Kimmel is. He gets there by surrounding himself with a bunch of people who come up with great ideas, and then they put that in the prompter. Or they go ahead and do that mashup bit, like the funny Trump mashup bit they did the other week with, I think it was Trump and President Obama doing the Osama bin Laden, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's see. Todd Grisham is here. And Joe, let's see. How do we say Joe's last name?
Well, I see one of your people has given you a frenetic pronunciation there to try and get it right. I'll let you have a go at it first.
Markovsky,
almost.
Markovsky.
Yeah.
All right, good. So you're Joe and Todd. Good to see you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming in.
See, when you're in complete control of your own show, you don't worry about the pronunciations of these ham and eggers that you bring on for just killing
you're
time.
Right. So Joe is from The Zone, or is The Zone, right? You own it?
I don't own it. I wish I owned it. If I owned it, I probably wouldn't be doing media on the Thursday of Fight Night. No, I'm the EVP of The Zone North America. We're a British business owned by, we're a privately owned business by a consortium of investors. But yeah, great to be here in Las Vegas for a big fight week for us.
And Joe's calling the fight, or sorry, Todd's calling the fight, screwed up. Todd's calling the
fight. I'm calling the undercard. They wouldn't even give you the main guy.
Really?
They sent me in here, kicked me from behind.
You're calling the undercard.
I'm calling the undercard. Next week I'm calling the KSI Logan Paul fight. I know you're dialed in on that one.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's at the Staples Center?
Yeah. It's a big event for DAZN.
How many people do they expect at that thing?
That will set out. It will set out, and it will be a huge broadcast night. So those guys fought last year.
They had a good fight.
A good fight. They did it on YouTube, pay-per-view. It did more than 1 million buys globally. This year, bigger promotion. It's in the US. The last fight was in Manchester in the UK. So domestically, it's going to be a much, much bigger event. It's a huge, huge fight.
Is there a sort of wave of the future, such as, and I'm sure you've all thought of this, but I mean, sort of like the UFC wasn't a big whoop a while back, and now UFC is popular, and boxing is popular, but who says they need to be professional boxers? They could just be internet influencers who are fighting. They could be desperate housewives or real housewives or anything. I mean, I know the celebrity boxing things.
It's all about the story. You want a story to wrap
right,
the veteran.
Right. It's all been it's been kind of around, but people don't really want to see Joey Buttafuoco fight Danny Bonaducci.
That's where you might be wrong. I mean, from my perspective, this is really refreshing that boxing's embracing this sort of thing. The reason that UFC's had the success it's had in a relatively short period of time, in my read, is that boxing has lost its way slightly in the last 20 or 30 years. The lack of willingness to embrace effectively marketing and promotional storylines and narratives has eroded boxing's popularity. The UFC's eaten the lunch of boxing in that context. So it's great that Eddie Hearn, the promoter who's attached to that event, who works very closely with us, is embracing this sort of thing. It's great. It's embracing a new audience for the sport of boxing.
No, I agree. In a way, I'm not saying, I don't mean to besmirch the great name of Joey Buttafuoco. What I'm trying to say is, like, in a way, there's more interest in a fight like KSM and what's his
KSI and Logan
KSI
Paul.
KSI and Logan Paul. Sorry, for me, I'm old. They're not household names, but I watched their last fight before Logan Paul came in to do the podcast, and it was a competitive fight.
Genuinely,
like they both trained hard. Logan kind of gassed out like a little bit early, but it was a good fight.
You know, when I was growing up, I used to watch the Tough Man show with Matt Vasgersian and Lawrence sure. Taylor, and they go to these local small towns
and
get two fraternity guys and put them in there in a main event for three rounds, and I couldn't get enough of it. I didn't care if they were pro boxers or not. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think famously boxer Greg Hogan was a tough man when they had tough man competitions. He was a guy who fought, like Greg Hogan, who fought as a professional at like 144 or something, was fighting 300-pound lumberjack
dudes. Well, you can't turn down a $100 payday if it comes to your town, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. So, Kovalev, what do we think about Saturday's fight? Canelo coming up 15 pounds, couple of weight divisions. Crusher was destroying everybody. Then he ran into, what the hell, no.
Anthony Yard.
Yes, right. And so where are we at? What do we think?
Kovalev isn't what he once was 3 years ago, but he still may be good enough and big enough to beat Canelo. And it's a massive undertaking to go up from 160 to 175, no matter who you are. And this guy, Kovalev, a couple years ago was the most avoided guy in all of boxing. This fight would not have happened. Mm. But now Canelo thinks he sees something, and Kovalev sees dollar signs. He's never had a payday like this. So he's like, come on up, little man. Let's see what happens.
Mm. This seems like a dangerous fight for Canelo. I was surprised that Canelo would take this fight.
I think it's more dangerous for him than people are giving it credit for, and I don't think people are giving him the credit that he deserves for the way that he's testing himself and pushing himself in the course of his career. He was talking this week about going up to cruiserweight after he gets through
200
this.
200 pounds, 190, 200 pounds.
It's crazy. So hats off to Canelo for having the balls to do it. As a partner of ours, we're just thankful that he continues to test himself and give us these narratives to promote and play with as the broadcast partner. And I think, to Todd's point, it's going to be a genuine test and one that could be really dangerous and more dangerous than people are giving it credit for.
Don't you think British people just sound so smart?
They know.
I don't even know what he just said, but I was like, God, he did it better than me.
I know. That's why we use them for VO over here in the States. And if you go to England, you don't hear a lot of guys from New Jersey or the Boston area doing their VO work.
At Disney World, you're waiting in line, and the British voice comes on, you'll be on your ride shortly. I'm like, oh, it sounds so much
more
pleasant.
Was that a British accent?
Over there somewhere.
I thought you meant to be a TV personality.
Please mind the gap.
Personally, Adam, I feel condescended to when I hear that accent.
Yeah, I know.
I feel a little bit dumber.
Didn't all right. Sorry. The fight. Just tell people where to go if they want to check.
Yeah.
This
so
out.
Fight this weekend: Canelo Kovalev, and then KSI Logan Paul next weekend in LA. Both fights exclusively live on DAZN. DAZN's an app. You can download it in all the app stores. So on your Apple, your Android device, on your smart TV. On Comcast, we're launching on Comcast this weekend. It's on the Xfinity boxes. So anywhere that you can get the internet on a device, you can download DAZN. And that's where the fight will be exclusively broadcast.
And not to sound like a shill, but most pay-per-view fights cost $79-$80.
Right.
You get DAZN for the whole year for $100. And we're giving you, 12 to 13 pay-per-view level cards. It's an amazing value for a boxing fan.
Yeah, two options, $19.99 for a month or $100 for the year. So tremendous value. Our business is set on, bringing boxing and democratizing boxing back. So the audiences continue to grow in the same way that UFC's grown the last 20 years or so.
Well, I love boxing, so Godspeed. Todd and Joe, thanks for joining us today. I got to do a casserole edge spot here, but appreciate you coming
thanks
by.
Thanks very much.
We'll
appreciate
be watching. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing together, fighting and robbing. Friction, it's a killer, man. Three times stronger, fool, than leading full synthetic. It's the Edge, man. It is Castrol Edge. You want to keep interviewing me, RJ Bell?
I do.
Joe talks funny.
No. I got to hear, though. You know he was condescending to you, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning, especially, the guy next to you?
What was he saying? How to pronounce his name?
Yeah, he was like, I can't believe you didn't go back at him. Like, I was ready to go at him.
His name? I don't care.
No, but it was like the way he was like, oh, you're not smart enough to even know who I am. And you're foolish to think I'm the owner of this.
The problem with all this, when we do all this stuff, is you get the guy, and you find out he gets pitched to me as one guy's like, he's an announcer. And you go, okay. And then later on, you find out he's announcing the fight. And I go, okay, why didn't we talk about him announcing the fight? And then later on, when I say you're announcing the fight, then he goes, no, I'm announcing the undercard, not the fight. So I don't know why we can never work that stuff out, but it never gets worked out. And then the KSI fight.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about that on the way in, did we?
No.
Okay. But that they're doing that fight.
They just invited
but
us
on
to
the
come
way
to the
in,
fight.
I said, well, what other fights are they doing? And we talked about a bunch of other fights. But that's an interesting story. Yeah. Anyway.
We're invited next Saturday night. We can go to that fight.
Good. Stay on your mic. Don't go full Bernard Hopkins. All right.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. We got... I want to talk about the Mattress Mac guy. The guy who put, I don't know, $8-11 million on Houston. The guy who just lost. We were talking about it in the news. I didn't get the full... story, or I don't feel like I know everything there is to know about the guy, but we thought, who better than RJ?
Well, thank you. You rest for a second. I'll give you all the info. This guy, for years now, in the Houston area, has had a promotion. If the Astros win the World Series that year, he will refund all mattress purchases up to $3,000. So now what happens is if the Astros don't make the playoffs, let's say, he just sighs a relief and he's fine. Now they make the playoffs. What happens? He starts hedging. So what's hedging is if there's one event that's horrible, you try to bet in a way that if that horrible event happens, it's not so horrible.
Right.
Right. So what he was trying to avoid was Houston winning. Thus, he started betting on Houston because if Houston won, he would have to pay out a bunch of refunds, but he would win money from the sports book.
Oh, so he was hedging.
Yeah.
So... what is the number he'd have now? Is he trying to get to that number? Like we talk about, you know, we talk about betting on a fight or betting on a football game, and if too much action goes to Canelo, then they'll start changing the odds to get more action to move over to Kovalev. And is it true in a way? Like you think, oh, that guy's favored. He is favored, but it's really the money that's kind of pushing the narrative, right?
I mean, your instincts are going to the key question of sports betting. Is it an efficient market, right? So I'm a finance guy. The theory is everything that's known about a stock is priced in. You can't beat the market. Now you got Warren Buffett, he beats the market. So which one is true? That's been the debate. If it were easy to beat sports betting, then you couldn't trust the price. Since it's so hard to beat it, in the long run, it's a sign the price, the odds are very accurate. Do they ever have inefficiencies? Yes. Otherwise, how could I win 3 years in a row with you?
That's right.
But the fact of the matter is, most of the time, the odds are mighty close to the true odds.
And you're always looking for that outlier, though.
Exactly.
The Diaz UFC fight coming up this weekend. Saturday as well. That is a real pay-per-view. That's going to cost real money.
Ouch!
I like
that.
See what happens when you condescend, Adam?
No, I'm not. I'm
saying when they're gone, he'll get you.
No, I'm not condescending. I'm saying you have to pay for that. You have to pay. I'm not biting the hand. I'm saying you got to pay $70 for that fight if you want to see that fight. Yeah. You don't do $100 a year for that fight.
RJ, who's going to win that fight?
Who's going to win that fight?
Very interested in that.
I find the fact that you call it the Diaz fight and he's the underdog very interesting. Which tells, and you want to do the pronunciation on the favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What? Now you put me on the spot again. Oh, Jorge Masvidal.
Yes, right. Obviously.
Masvidal. Right.
Masvidal is at, well, that's pretty good. Yeah. Is actually -175. So think about that. 175 wins you 100. Diaz, 100 wins you 150. So when the big known guy is the underdog, that means don't bet that big known guy. Because he could win, but it means they want that betting. They're happy to have you bet Diaz. And I don't want the bookies happy.
All right, well.
So you're not on
him
is what you're saying.
No, I might be on the unpronounceable favor.
Oh, God.
Masvidal.
Oh, no.
I love Diaz.
I'm
going to
be in so much trouble. Me and Mattress Mac.
So did Mattress Mac end up, what ended up happening with
him? Okay, so my understanding, and you never know, right? Because no one's going to report all the moves he makes. But what this guy's smart about, he's getting a ton of publicity. Look, he's on this show being discussed. We're not going to say right. his name necessarily, just Mac. But the fact is, he has made a big production. He'll travel to Vegas. He tells the media. He comes out saying, couldn't get enough. I only got $3 million down. I'm heading to Jersey. Right. So now it's almost like they're following him around, right?
Right.
It looks like that his exposure, if they had lost or won, if Houston had won, no hedging in this hypothetical, he would have lost $20 million.
Wow.
In refunds. My understanding is it looked like he hedged about $13
million. Wow.
Now, since Houston lost, right. he lost the whole $13 million.
But right. how much did he buy, you're saying, in future business?
Who knows? Oh, exactly.
Well, yeah. it's that kind of thing where it's like, how much, if you could put a dollar amount to how much publicity before the election Trump got, you know, how many millions right. and millions of dollars of time, yeah, FaceTime, yeah. Fox, CNN, everywhere, every network. Like, if you could put a number on that.
Billions.
I mean, Jesus Christ, yeah. So, insane. All right, interesting story. Let's, RJ, let's do RJ's parlays, because I don't know, how did we got it from last? Yeah, how did we do last week? Let's see. Record 10 and 5 this year. Very strong. 10 out of 15. I mean, out of 15 games, 10 and 5. Very strong.
66.
Went a win and a loss last week. What do we got this week?
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go with the worst team in the NFL. We're going to bet on them, the Miami Dolphins, +3. Why? One, Miami, at the beginning of the year, you could really question their motivation. Since they got so much heat, because they were tanking, right?
Right.
But since they got so much heat for it, they really have been playing as hard as they can. They're a bad team, but they've been playing hard early in the year.
They're winless, right?
Winless.
But aren't they covering every time?
They covered last
week. If you're betting Miami every week, you're winning.
I think you're right on the season. Yeah.
I just thought about the other night against the Giants.
That Ravens game.
They have covered every game.
They lost by so much, it made such an impression, right? Mm-hmm. Also, Josh Rosen, who was a big pick out of UCLA, he's horrible. When he was playing, they were horrible. He sat. Now they've got the other quarterback in the situation there with Fitzpatrick. This guy's better than Rosen. So for the first time in the last couple weeks, you've had a motivated team, and you've had the better quarterback. What have they done? They've covered against the Bills. They covered against the Steelers.
Yes.
I think they cover again against the Jets, +3. Last thing about that.
Conference game.
Oftentimes when a team loses a game where they get embarrassed, Jets have been embarrassed lately, they step up the next time.
Right.
The Jets are so much turmoil. I was just on New York ESPN before I came down here. That's why I was a few minutes late. Is they say that if he loses this game, the first-year coach, he might get fired right then. The pressure is on the Jets. Bad teams with pressure, not a good thing. Miami +3.
All right.
There you go.
That's a good bet. What's the second one?
Second one, we're going to go on the other side of that. If you play horribly, you bounce back. This time we think they do. It's Carolina. Carolina had the young quarterback takeaway, or with Cam getting hurt, Cam Newton, he stepped in. They won 4 in a row. Everyone's like, look, Carolina's really good. And then they got crushed by the 49ers. Wasn't right. even close. Everyone's like, ooh, I don't want any more Carolina. This team is going to step up and make a strong, strong effort. They're laying 3.5. Carolina, pick number 2.
Who they over?
Oh. Sorry.
Who they playing? Oh, we'll figure it out on the phone.
No. I want to check one thing about the odds real quick. Just give me one second.
Okay.
We could keep talking and then.
I'll buy. I'll sing the dreidel song. I had a little dreidel.
I'm guessing you've
I
got.
Made it out of clay.
I'm guessing you've got a story to tell. Right. I mean, if history
well, no,
I,
Hopkins, they're hosting the Titans.
They're hosting the Titans.
Oh,
I'm with you.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I got confused. I thought you asked a question about the line. Oh, the Titans are the team, and they had Fitzpatrick. Oh, I'm sorry. Check that. Tannehill step up and play really well last week, and they ended up beating last week. Boy, I'm really struggling right now.
It's all right.
I'm having a mental block for some reason. But let's just say this. Carolina's been bet. I like Carolina.
All right. I'm with you in that when a team that's a good team, it's my Patriots thing. If the Patriots ever lose a game, bet big on them next week. They're making a statement.
Belichick for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. This is a good team in Carolina that got beat by an unbeaten team. They got spanked a little bit, and they're going to want to come back and let everyone know they're still a quality team.
Yeah, and also what happens is people, they get cheaper, the team that just got beat, because right. no one wants to bat them.
Right.
Right.
It's like, a goodbye.
Right.
And they're at home.
Right. All right. Max Pata?
Yo.
We got an outro, or is that just slugged in, or how do we do that?
Oh, well, RJ will end it off with a BetDSI.
Oh,
our
RJ's
friends
got
from
a little
BetDSI. Love to hear about what's going on with them.
You should just sit on all the shows.
I really should.
This is awesome. Now, here's the thing. It's football season. Football, football. Obviously, Carolina's playing the Tennessee Titans. That's a game you could play. Also, Miami and the Jets, obviously. Now, and last week, who cares? Tannehill. All right. BetDSI, 100% max bonus. What does that mean? Literally, you put in $100, you get $200. Put in $500, you get $500. Now, you got to use the promo code. Now, I'm RJ, but it's Adam101. Adam101. Why BetDSI? 20 years in the business, top rated. Also, they've got a great app. Also, in-game betting, all the different stuff, politics, etc. New members, 100% bonus. Once again, promo code Adam101. BetDSI.com. BetDSI.com.
Let's all bet.
Let's see.
.com.
August. How funny. Tell us as we sat in the strudel hut in
in beautiful
Utah,
Salt Lake City.
Or in Utah last
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got to get a bet in.
Oh, my God.
I got a feeling.
I was jonesing.
And he was jonesing. And he kept looking at his phone.
I couldn't get – I get down with Sal, right?
All right.
And I'm just sure Virginia's going to whip
so,
up
so
on
you're
Louisville.
Betting college football.
That's all I bet is college football.
All I bet.
College football. So I'm sure Virginia, who's a good team, is going to beat up on Louisville, who hasn't been very good, right? And I can't get Sal, because Sal was back east with Jimmy doing the show out of Brooklyn, and it's Saturday, and now they're on the plane coming home, and I've been texting him. And so Max Zapata at the table goes, oh, he's probably on a plane. Why don't you email him? Maybe he's got Wi-Fi. I'm like, oh, okay. So I email him. Of course, I get down on the game. And Adam goes, now you're going to lose. I'm like, you're right. It's
but
an omen.
It was weird. It's an interesting thing, which is, I mean, a dynamic, which is when somebody says, like, if you take a woman and she's at a department store and there's a purse sitting there and there's just one left, you know, and she's looking at it, she's going, it's okay. It's a little pricey. And then another woman comes up and goes, oh, I'm going to grab that. But then the first one grabs at it, right?
So.
Mike had thoughts about the game, but as the meal went on, and he couldn't get his bet in, he started getting desperate. And at a certain point in his head, it became a foregone conclusion that Virginia was going to win. The big question
was, miss out on this major victory.
Going to get his bet in? What was the final score of that game?
Virginia 14, Louisville 28.
All right.
So let me ask you, not asking your salary or your annual, but... Uh-huh. Does the money matter?
The money matters with me because I've never lost to Sal. I have been betting college football with Sal for a decade.
He's booking your action?
Yeah.
And you're
taking it or laying it off. I don't know.
You're laying 110?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Every year, he has to give me money. I've never lost.
That
is good. This year, I was down like 1,750, right? Because I bet like 100, 200 games. Yeah. And then Adam rescues me with the...
Israel Alisanto.
So he'll take anything. If you say I got a first quarter line and
So we win the Alisanto bet. So I get my nut down to like 650, and then I win another game. So I'm down to like 450, and now I'm ready to get even. And then
of course
Virginia lays an egg. So then it gets worse.
It gets worse.
So I'm like, okay.
He's like, Mike's like, here's Mike's thinking. I've had my day ruined. How do I ruin my night? You know what I mean?
Because
you want to keep it going.
Yeah.
Like when you have a nice beer buzz and it's
you're
like 4 in
Utah.
The afternoon and you want to keep it going, you know? So it's like my day's been destroyed.
Yeah.
How do I destroy my evening at the club tonight with Adam?
I go to Top Golf and I'm hitting balls and I look at the bar and they got the Utah State helmet there. I'm like, this is an omen. So I literally did. It's that bad.
Vegas was built on guys like you.
Utah State going into Air Force. Air Force is like got the number one offense in the country. I'm like, it's not going to happen. Utah State's tough. They lost 31-7.
He had it on in the green room of the club in Utah. Mike just staring at Stevie.
And Adam keeps looking at these teams. Who are these teams? Like, the guys in blue. That's who we need to score.
I got a serious question. Last game of the year. Let's say it's the championship game, obviously. How much would you be willing to bet? If you're down 9,000, will you go bet 9,100?
No way.
So how much would you bet to get to win.
I've never had that problem.
But now you
might.
I don't
know. Now Adam's saving me again this week because we're going on Diaz, right? So now I've got $1,000.
Oh.
I've got $1,000 on Diaz, and you just crushed my.
Have you bet it? Because I'll book it. We're in Nevada.
I got it. We got it at 138, buddy. Can you beat 138?
Oh yeah, no problem. Oh. Hey, you want a bonus college football pick? I want to get analysis. I'll just give it to you.
What do you got?
Washington University plus 3.5
against
Utah
State.
Utah, and the rationale is simple. Holy, Washington Utah's is good. Off a bye, and they do exceptionally well. Utah is perceived to be good. They're a little overrated, but off a bye, Washington's amazing. Utah's in a bad spot. 3.5 especially.
Is Utah
pick.
On the road?
Yes, the game's at Washington.
Okay.
There you go.
That's a tough pick, though, because that's
Come on, listen to the man.
I'm listening. No, I listen.
You listened to yourself last week and see what got where it led you?
He listened to a helmet at a Topgolf.
Were you rooting for him to lose?
Totally.
No, I mean, it's funny. It's funny. I root for Mike to make money, but I was laughing. It was funny that the game was a day game and a night game, and the night game was the whole time we're at the club, right?
Yeah. Like, and it was so one-sided.
Kickoff
Utah
is
State
when
was
I
was never in that game, not for one play. Air Force drove up and down the field. They fumbled three times. The score should have been 50-7.
Mike was just yelling
was
at the TV the whole time.
Insanely angry.
Thank God the food was free and flowing, and they got the pretzel bites. It was awesome. All right. Let's see. Let's give RJ a plug. Pregame.com is where you go, and the podcast Dream Preview. RJ Bell holding court, interviewing the Ace Man.
Yeah.
Howard Stern questions. I found that enjoyable. Thank you, RJ Bell.
I tell you, next time you're in town, when you are for a while, get you on my pod, Home Court. We'll dig into Adam's psyche a little bit.
I visited RJ's facility a week ago. It's spectacular.
I would love to do
that. If you go there, you may move to Vegas.
I can work in this environment.
I think you will.
In an awesome building in a beautiful part of town.
And let's see. We want to thank Max Zapata. What plugs do you have, Max Zapata?
Check out Kroll Classics.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. I enjoy listening to that. Yeah.
And the water cooler I do with the staff.
And Bernard Hopkins and Mike August and Todd Grisham.
Can I plug my new patio?
Yeah, plug. Yeah, it's got a new patio.
Last question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you have a joke, let's say people are talking and you're not the lead, and you have a joke so good but you can't get it in, what do you do? At one point, do you just shove it in? Do you wait till the end? What do you do?
I was sitting on top of that Bernard Hopkins prison facility. what the hell's her name?
Felicity
Huffman. I've sitting on that for like 13 minutes. Just when he said he went from like C block to D block and the gang.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G block.
The gangbangers were over here and the lieutenants from the gangs were over there. I was like, this joke was Felicity Huffman joke was percolating in my head. And it's like, you could either, you know, play basketball or get in the boxing ring, you know, and it was painting this super bleak picture of this, you know, Pennsylvania prison built in the turn of the century, you know, and this Felicity Huffman joke hit me.
It was good.
And every time I was going to slide it in, he'd grab my arm and go, shut up.
Don't you step on my...
I'm talking.
Because I'm going to do Felicity Huffman.
So that one sat for about as long as a joke sits with me.
Well, this one was going to be about 90 minutes, because when you were talking about your hands and you were talking about being in the back room...
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the movie, they say, which hands do you do your chips with? My thought was they were going to ask you, what hand do you masturbate with? See?
It would have worked at the time. 87 minutes later. Yeah. All right.
See, look,
he's laughing at you.
No, he's not. No, he's not. His eyes are closed.
He's doing what we're doing to Mike when he gambles. All right. And you can watch the fight at watchdazn.com. And again, then watch the KSI fight with everybody.
Logan Paul.
$20 a month.
And after a 1 month free trial.
All right. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Todd and Bernard and Mike and Chris and
Utah State
and everyone else.
Tennessee Titans.
Saying mahalo.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming up next.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One Night Only, Laughs with Bald Brian. A night of stand-up comedy benefiting Stupid Cancer, a charity dedicated to helping young adults with cancer. Featuring Larry Miller, Dana Gould, Greg Fitzsimmons, Joel McHale, Brad Williams, Kyle Dunnigan, Jeff Cesario, Dr. Drew, and Adam Carolla. With your host, Brian Bishop.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm so excited and proud to be hosting this incredible fundraiser benefiting Stupid Cancer. They've been there for young adults like me who were diagnosed with cancer, and I'm thrilled to be able to pay it forward. If you love comedy, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you do, then please don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to laugh and give back to this great organization.
Saturday night at the Avalon Theater in Hollywood. Only a few tickets left, so get yours now at laughswithbaldbrian.com. The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday edition of some hot sports talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, I hope your Halloween was joyous. What did the kids dress up as?
Let's see. I don't know, Sonny. I don't know, Angry Bird. I can't keep track anymore. I think Natalia one is not Princess Leia, Princess Peia, which is she goes online and I pay for an outfit. Can you imagine these kids? My daughter.
Princess Peia.
Princess Peia. She goes online, buys something extravagant she'll never wear again, and I pay for it. She racked up $33 on like iTunes or whatever the other day. I mean, could you imagine that as a kid?
That's outrageous. That's so easy. It's too easy.
It's just getting movies and just get these movies. Yeah, I'm just watching one. Let me tell you something. I'm literally a millionaire. If I see a movie and it says, you know, you can buy it for $14, but there's no rental, I'll go, that's too rich for my blood. I'm not worth it.
What would you say if either of your kids had gone behind your back? They didn't consult you or Lynette, but they got the big MMA fight. Would you be proud or angry?
The thing that's funny about the MMA fight is, and it's a wiring. I'll try to explain this wiring. I will go out. I will do a corporate something. I'll get $15,000. Then I'll
Sweet
go out.
Jesus.
I'll go out and do some comedy club and get $30,000 or $40,000.
Oh my God!
But I got to be there. That's four shows. I got to be there the whole weekend. And
that covers you for the year.
You got to sell the place.
That's
out.
What they pay you to come back like once a week or no. A couple times a week to meet your minimum standard for
I'll
the year.
I'll go out and kill myself on the road. I'll make tens of thousands of dollars, and then I'll come home and I'll see the UFC fight and I'll want to watch it, but it'll be $61. And I'll go, I'm not worth it. You haven't earned it. Now, if you and Cousin Sal and Hench said, can we come over and watch the fight? I would happily pay the $61 and watch the fight. But for me alone, watching it at home, I'm not worth it. That's a waste of money.
I hate that story for you. That's a terrible
weird,
story
right?
for you. Yes. You need somebody. And I really do think this, you know. Mm. I don't want to, this isn't gender specific, but you also though, It seems like the only one that's coming to my mind is like Sandra Bullock comes to my mind. She was scorned by the tatted up guy. And so she was emotionally wounded. And then she settled on a nice security blanket of a fella. You know, he might be vanilla, but, you know, I'm safe with him.
Jesse James was her man. Yeah.
You need somebody who does that for you. Adam, you do so much. Look, you're on the road. You deserve it. You know what, Adam? Good news. Sit down on the couch. I got you the MMA fight tonight. I figured you'd want to watch it. Just and even maybe it never even crossed your mind. You didn't mention it. Mm-hmm. Somebody looked it up because it's something that might interest you, and you were worth the $61 gamble that you might be interested. Hey, sit down on the couch. Oh, put your feet up. I'm bringing a nice Honeycrisp to enjoy while you watch.
An apple.
That's right. Oh no, I'm sorry. You would want your cherries, whatever.
Yeah, I like my Rainier cherries. All right. Well, I'll write
that
down.
How about that? I want you to get one of those. And I want you to get somebody who does that for you.
Yeah. I think I'd have to move to Japan.
Train your children to do that.
They
can double team that, tag team that.
Yeah, my daughter did thank me for something once. Semi-recently. It was interesting.
Speaking of which, we have the President of the United States is going to an MMA fight tonight over the weekend. I don't know what. I just was curious. I don't know if you covered this already.
He's going to an MMA fight?
He's going to one this weekend.
Oh, he is.
I think
is
an MSG.
244 with Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal?
What? Yeah, whatever's going on at MSG this weekend.
Is that New York? Oh, it's in New York. All right.
This on the heels of him going on last Sunday night to the World Series and getting booed. And I'm curious, I'm not for the political, whether he deserved it or whatever. I just am interested in booing as a thing. Where do you come down on booing? Whatever it is.
Now,
we live in a, go ahead.
He's going to he went to a Nationals game.
Yes.
And it obviously wasn't in Houston. He's rooting hard for Houston, right?
For what reason?
Well, the Nationals, if they don't go to the White House, it's glaring.
Oh yeah, that's and the Astros probably are more predisposed to show up.
When team is from Houston, which is a little more Trump country,
yeah, that's
certainly
right.
I think he had a big rally there not too long ago. So A
that would be dead. Yeah, we're not. Yeah, come on. I'm only three blocks away. Like, yeah, too far. Not gonna do it.
Yeah, but you walk past the White House on the way to practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're on our way. We don't have time to stop.
Come on, I'm in 20 minutes. He's yelling from the lawn. Just go. Come in for a second.
We'll have a catch. But if you really think about it, Trump is a New Yorker.
Right.
So he's Yankees all the way. Maybe he's Mets, but, you know, he's a Yankee.
He's Yankees.
He's got to be a Yankees guy.
Yeah, he used to sit there with Steinbrenner.
He's been in D.C. for 10 minutes. It's not like he's a Nationals fan. He's a Yankees fan.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of his teams made it to the World Series. Houston, you know, if you were to look around the National Baseball League, if you looked at it, you'd go, well, Houston would be one of the more likely, I don't know, maybe Diamondbacks or something. There's a handful of teams, you know. The Dodgers aren't going. The Angels aren't going. I don't know if the Mets are going. But
Cardinals, Astros might have been the optimal.
Yeah.
You know, St. Louis probably.
So you have a chance with Houston. And it's also that they go, and then it's also if they boycott the White House, it's not as glaring as your own city. I mean, in the annals of history, there's never been a thing where the team of the city they're in boycotted the invite. It'd be like the Patriots going, we're not going to do a ticker tape parade right through, you know, Boston.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that is an interesting point.
He's rooting hard for Houston right now.
That I hadn't considered it, but I bet you that you're right. And then also, what he should have done, he should have left Melania at home and instead brought someone he should have brought like Joe Theismann and Alex Ovechkin and Wes Unseld. Like, bring all of Washington, D.C.'s greatest sports stars. Boo me now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to get confused. Wes Unseld is going to think you're booing him, D.C.
Yeah, well, like I told you, I was this close to naming my son Lou for this. You know what I mean? You bring Lou Bega with you. And they go, because when you hear Boo times 50,000 people, it can sound like Lou. When you hear Lou come to home plate and everyone's yelling, Lou, yeah, it sounds like Boo. So what you do is you go, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and Lou Bega. And everyone's like, and then we're all just kind of, hey, they love you in D.C.
It's very weird, just though. I just think the general idea, if you can take a step back, human beings, and consider, you're a grown-up. You boo people.
That's weird. You know,
I'm all for free speech. It's just a weird thing to.
I agree.
Boo!
So also, they got, you know about playing the school of the deaf in high school.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what woke campus, but some woke campus just like outlawed clapping and it's now jazz hands.
What?
Yes. But the whole thing about if you're deaf, then okay, so it's a sonic thing. But can't you, and didn't you grow up in a world of watching people applause, like taking their hands and slapping them together? Now,
yeah,
jazz hands makes no noise. But it's arguably less movement than clapping of the hands. And if you are deaf and you just watch TV shows all times with the sub captions on, mm-hmm, then it'd be like applause, you know, and they show the people applauding and the whatever. That's University of Manchester has done this. Is that's offensive? And jazz hands? What?
It's an English school, though.
And it's, well, yeah, I don't care. They,
okay,
obviously,
but that's still sad.
They missed that episode of the Adam Carolla Show where I did tell the story about playing the Pittsburgh School of the Deaf, because the thing that really got in our heads as a team, as visitors to the School of the Deaf, was the mass of people there, but complete silence. It was freaky. I would have welcomed some hands clapping versus that. Just they're all there, but nobody's making a noise until my friend Ben Lawski went to the foul line. Then they made a sound. I'll never forget.
Well, don't forget Geico. You got a list of things to do. How about you add save hundreds of dollars on car insurance? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. You put it in your pocket and you save it for a rainy day. That is Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. Find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance.
Let's wrap the week up here. It's the Patriots at the Ravens on Sunday night. Ace, who you got? Many people are pointing at this as the AFC title game preview. Whoever wins this one probably has the inside track to the top seed in the conference.
God, when I heard last week that the Patriots defense have scored more than they've given up, it's insane. And the
26-24, I believe.
And the day the Patriots have a dominant defense, the Patriots traditionally didn't have a dominant defense, but they would just scheme so well for the big games, they would dominate in the games. But now a dominant defense, takeaway, how can you ever bet against the Patriots?
Know.
Although there is that part where they lose the one game in the middle of the season every year, and then people start talking like, has Brady lost a step? Yeah, he's 8-0, and he got beat once, and we all want to know if he's lost a step. That's this point in the season?
That's right. That's exactly where we are in the season.
It'd be nice if Baltimore won, but I don't anticipate.
I'm not going to root for that because I want the Steelers to still get back into this thing. And weird that these two teams are supposed to be mirror images of each other, Steelers and Ravens. Ravens always play well against the Patriots. Steelers never play well against the Patriots. Sports mystery. We'll get into that and many other hot sports takes. Or should I say, Adam Carolla and our pal Gary Smith back there are going to dig into things on Good Sports for you next week. More hot sports talk one way or the other for you coming at you. We'll talk to you soon. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. For tickets and info on everything, visit adamcarolla.com.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.